Well, hello, good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, wherever you are. This is Saibal Sen, bringing you another episode of India Startup Talk, where I aim to help early stage startups in India with advice, practical tips, and some learnings that I am getting through mentoring and evaluating startups as an angel investor. And some of the material that I have produced in the past are things such as how to handle competition, how to create a go-to-market strategy. I have another one dedicated to just plain simple tips and advice for early stage startups as an episode. I have even analyzed successful founders. I've even produced a podcast on 5G, mobile network 5G, and the opportunities it presents for the Indian market. Telecom is something near and dear to me. I've worked a lot in the past in telecom, so I'm always scouting for startups that are in India that are catering to 5G technology. So have a listen to that and the others. And towards the beginning, I also had a podcast on demystifying jargon. You know, there's so many words or technical terms being used in the startup world. So if it sounds all strange to you, then go and have a listen to that. It's a two-part series, but it'll do you a lot of good if you listen to all that stuff. So coming to this particular episode, this is an interesting one. I'm calling it the product market fit test. And this is a four-part series, and I'm putting it under the umbrella of a framework. So being a consultant in the past, as you know, if you're from consulting, we all love frameworks. And the framework is being called the investability framework, meaning, does your startup look interesting from an investor's point of view? So there are four legs to it. And in this episode, I'm going to talk about the first leg, which is the product market fit portion of the investability framework. And I'll release the others in subsequent episodes. So you might ask, like, what is the need for an investability framework, right? So here, what I'd like to explain, that there's a difference between a startup in the strictest sense and an enterprise that is just starting out. Okay, so the distinction lies in the fact that startups are looking for funding from investors. Okay, an enterprise could be a startup, but it also could mean that it is self-funded or it has been spawned by another larger company, right? So to make that distinction, and if you are into creating a startup in the classical sense, then this investability framework is the perfect test, okay? Like I said, there are four parts to it. First one being the product market fit, which is the subject of this particular podcast. And this topic is all about whether your product is going to sell. Is there a need for your product in the market? So it's a test for that. The second one is the scalability of your idea, meaning, can you effectively mass produce it with minimal cost? And that's in a nutshell what scalability is, but we can dive into more details in the second part for podcast when I talk about it in more detail. The third leg of the investability framework test is the defendability of your idea, meaning, how safe are you from competition copying your idea or being able to make your product obsolete? The last one of the tests in the investability framework is your team capable of executing the idea? So it's a test on your team. So together, these four things I feel will be incredibly useful for folks out there who are trying to do early stage startups and looking for investments from angel investors. So all you have to do is apply these four tests in the investability framework to your startup, and if it passes all the tests, you have a winner there and you should have no trouble getting investments. So hopefully this will be useful to you. I'm sorry if I'm repeating things a lot, but it's kind of hard to bring across difficult concepts in a podcast without showing any visuals. So in the product market test, there are three factors you need to consider: the price factor, the speed factor, and the experience factor. Now, I will describe a way to score each of these from a 0 to 100, like say it's 20%, 30%, or 100% for each of these factors. Now, you don't have to have a 100% score in all of them. It's just that if you have a 100% score on one of the factors, then it's good enough. Or if it's a combination of the three, then the individual percentage scores of each factor must add up to 100% or more. So it sounds very quantified, but that's exactly the purpose of a framework. So it's quantified. All right, so let's discuss each one. The price factor. In the price factor, what I'm trying to say here is that if you come up with a product idea that is half the cost of current methods of doing it, it could be manual or it could be substitutes, and if the price is half the cost of the product itself, or taking into account the effort and labor involved, then you can give it a 100% score. The second factor is speed. Remember, I mentioned speed was the second. Let's define speed. So speed, if your product or idea happens to do the job 3 times faster than its current methods, or whatever method is being employed in lieu of your new product idea, then it has to be 3 times faster, then you can give it a 100% score. The last one is experience. So in the experience leg, if the experience of the user of using this product is a 5-star rating, you know, like it's delighting the person, then you can give it a 100% score. This one's a little bit judgmental and non-objective, it's more subjective, but there you have it. 5-star, everybody understands what a 3-star, 1-star, 2-star rating is, and if you can give it a 5-star, you got a 100% rating, okay? Now, let me explain all this with an example each so that it further solidifies in your mind what each of these factors and how would you go about testing it. So let's start with the example of price. The first leg was price, right? So everybody's heard of cloud kitchens, right? So let's take the example of a cloud kitchen. Other things being equal, if the cost of the same food is 50% cheaper, or half the price of, let's say, an expensive restaurant, when you order from a cloud kitchen, then that cloud kitchen has a good chance of winning. Only then it's worth it, okay? So unless you save 50% on the price, food quality being the same, cloud kitchens have a tough time making a dent in the new product space. So taking the example of speed now, if you want to stick to food, the grocery delivery company Swiggy now is offering InstaSmart for delivery within 15 to 20 minutes. And I'd say, according to this test, if everything remains the same and if the delivery is 3 times faster than what it would take you to get it, like they're saying 15 minutes, and if it takes you more than 45 minutes an hour, then you have a winner here again. So that's the speed differential. The third one, I'll take the example of this rideshare company, app company called BlueSmart. I think currently it's only operating out of Delhi, but they use electric cars. So when you're comparing them with the existing solutions of Ola and Uber, their experience is supposedly, I myself haven't taken it, but I've read a lot about it and I've listened to their pitches as well. The experience is absolutely beautiful. They have courteous drivers, completely sanitized cars. They're always on time. And guess what? They don't have a cancel button. so you can ride without any tension. Okay, so that goes for experience. And if you're giving it a 5-star after you have experienced Uber and you've gone to Blue Smart and experienced them, then it's a 5-star experience. So the three examples I gave you, each one of them was 100% score. I go back to what I said, if individually they're not adding up to 100%, that's okay. If you add up the three, like a 30% in, let's say, price and 40% in your speed and another 50%, let's say, just for safety's sake, in your experience score, then you add up all and that's an over 100%, which brings the total to 120% if my math is right, and so you have a clear winner over here. So hey, that brings me to the end of this podcast, and let me summarize quickly what I just told you. I just described a product market test for you as a part of the investability framework, and that has basically three legs to it. If the price of what you are producing or making, your idea, cuts the cost by 50% of the current methods, then you get 100% score on that. The second leg is about the speed and the time. If your product gets the job done 3 times faster, then you again get 100% score. And the last one is the experience factor. If it's a 5-star experience using your product or service, then it's also 100%. And any combination of the three, if it's over 100% score, then you have a good product market fit. Then I also mentioned that investability framework, this is just one part of it. There are three other areas that you need to consider, and that being the scalability of your product, the moat factor, the competition defensiveness, and how good is your team. So those three things, I will give you a quantified test on those in my subsequent podcast. So watch out for those. And until then, wish you all the luck, stay safe, and love to hear your feedback and comments, either through the podcast platform that you're using, whatever it might be, iTunes or Google Podcasts or Spotify, or you can just send me an email at ssen@zenesysconsulting.com. Zenesys spelled as Zenesys. Consulting, one word, and I would surely reply back to you. Thanks. Bye now.